So, a universe of gold. A universe of gold. But first of all, we're going to read together. You're going to have to give me some help this morning. But before we do so, I want to begin with a quote. Diane was reading a book on Christian psychology, as you do when you've got a big brain. Well, that's if you read it and understand it. But she read this line out to me, and it struck me. It was a brilliant line for today. You want to read it with me? Christians understand that the universe is destined for resurrection. Hold that thought. Now we're going to read from the scriptures. Please read with me from Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Okay, you've been sitting long enough, so turn to your neighbor and ask them what's their favorite color. What's your favorite color? Anyone here's favorite color? Red? Blue? Green? Orange? Purple? Yellow? Any others? Turquoise. 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 Turquoise.
Gold and silver.
Gold and silver. Oh, sounds good. So, I was taking a funeral today and managed to get 300 people to laugh. That was tricky. But what I said is that as a child, this man had been taken by folks from the Mayfield Labor Club to a match at Celtic Park, and he'd become a Celtic fan all his life. Thus, his favorite color was blue. And 300 people laughed. Why was that? Because Celtic playing green, and what was his favorite color? Absolutely. And you can't beat the combination of dark black hair, peely-wally Irish skin, and green, can you? Because sometimes people's favorite color, sometimes they suit it, sometimes they don't. But why is that your favorite color? Ask your neighbor. So did anyone find any interesting stories? How many people here's neighbor liked that color because it was a football team? Or is the color My Little Pony? Ah, there we go. Well done, chick. You like My Little Pony. That's good for you. Now, you like maroon. You like maroon. You'll be a Hibs fan then. Now, just before it all kicks off, I wonder what God's favorite color was. What do you think God's favorite color is? I don't know. I'm going to make a pitch this morning that it might be gold, though I'm open to other interpretations. You think it's white? Because oh, it's pure. I like that, Alex. Any other ideas? Blue. And why does God like blue, Katie? Don't know. Oh, well. What's the color of the sky? Well, that's a good one. I like that. So, the grown-ups here have all been looking at some of Jesus' teaching that's contained in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Does anybody know what it's called? The Sermon on the Mount, well done, Richard. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most important gatherings of Jesus' teaching. It was given to some crowds above Lake Galilee on a mountainside, and it contains things like the Lord's Prayer, which we prayed, turquoise. Doesn't contain turquoise, I'm sorry about that. But it contains all kinds of teaching that we've been looking at over Lent over these last 6 weeks. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we get an insight into what a Jesus kind of life looks like. What would it be to live like Jesus lived? And you find that out in the Sermon on the Mount. So we've been looking at that, and we're going to read a bit of the Sermon on the Mount together today. Can you help me? This is from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Wow, what a promise. Isn't that a promise? What's Jesus saying? Ask, seek, knock, and you receive. That's brilliant. So, if you've got a promise from Jesus there, what are you going to ask him for? What are you going to ask him for? Someone from the balcony. Forgiveness might be a good one. What would you ask for? World peace. Is that an enormous sandwich? Sorry, I couldn't resist that. The non-Scottish people are going, what is he talking about? Imagine the world peace. What's the filling in the world peace? Jam, that'll do. Okay, no, world peace. That's an excellent thing to ask for. And actually, when I was growing up, the usual answer you get from Miss World, that was a good thing to say if you wanted to win Miss World. Anybody else, what would you ask for? A new phone. Wow. And that would really do it for you. Awesome. What phone would you like? Haven't done your research. Why not an iPhone 10? It's ridiculously expensive. Now, what would you ask for? Yes, Justy. A pizza sandwich. Wow. Kate. A dog. Big dog, little dog, edible dog. Oops. No. Big dog? Small dog, right? Yes? Cheese. Just cheese. Can I suggest that you watch Wallace and Gromit's Grand Day Out? You will gel with them very well. Anything else? What would you be asking for? Richard? A jam sandwich. I think Margaret's already taken care of that. There's going to be jam sandwich for everyone. A cat. Okay, right. Oh, John, last one. Cat. All right, you want a cat too. Great. Now, brilliant. So what would you ask for? How about this? How about this? Let's see. What about the defeat of death? Right, hands up here if you're going to die one day. Okay, hands up here if you're deluded. Okay? I wish I could tell you a joke, but I can't. It's sort of 12A. But someone said that life was a disease that was transmitted a certain way with 100% kill rate. I'll leave you to figure out the gaps. So death is something that ends our life, isn't it? Jesus defeats, Alex, you got to pause sometime, sweetheart. Jesus defeats death on the cross. Hands up here if you have a certainty that you're going to live forever. Wow, look at that. That comes through Jesus. Jesus defeats death. If you were going to ask him to do anything, defeating death might be up there. Mightn't it? Paul writes in his wonderful letter to a church in Rome, read this with me, "For the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what's his free gift to us? Well, eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Everlasting life. Absolutely incredible. Jesus continues in this passage with this. Can you read it with me? "Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that's taught in the law and the prophets." This particular, Justy, I'm going to tread on you, son, and it'll hurt because I'm very, very, very big. Thank you. This is called the Golden Rule. That wasn't Jesus' title for it. But it's recognized as being one of the most genius statements in all of ethics. If you do to others what you like them to do to you, then we'd all treat each other pretty well, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? That'd be a good thing. And the thing is that Jesus says, is this one short verse kind of sums up the law and the prophets, which is just a shorthand way of saying the entirety of Jesus' Bible, the Old Testament. That sums it up. Now, how might we do that for Jesus? I mean, I think we understand, and I've got someone like Kevin here. I know that Kevin likes barbecue. I do. And if I was to love Kevin as he has loved me, I'd put on a big barbecue. Yeah, I'm looking for other people. Here's Cammie. Cammie is a season ticket holder at Easter Road. Enough. And so what he needs, if I was a hip supporter, I'd just want loads of sympathy. Loads of sympathy. I think that's, and I saw a clap coming across this Hearts fans and St. Mirren fans here. I all need sympathy, yeah? And then I might get some sympathy back when my plans went astray. Now, what was that? The natural order has been resumed. Well, let's put it this way. You believe in resurrection if you play in Easter Road. Now, so how do we get how to do that for each other, but how do we do for Jesus what Jesus does for us? How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, you might think we can't. But you see, the thing is in baptism, anybody baptized today? Okay, so this is topical. In baptism, we remember that the old life dies, the life lived for me, and that we are resurrected to a life that we live for Jesus when we put our trust in him. That's why the ancient church, way, way back in the very early, like if you've gone to church in about 150 AD, they baptized on Easter Sunday. And they usually had to do it in secret because often the emperor was out to get them. And they baptized people on Easter Sunday. It's a very ancient thing to do. And as that happens, what happens is we're gathered up into Jesus' recreation, part of the greater recreation that Jesus has planned for all of us. So when we love and care for one another, have a look at your friend, smile at them. When we love and care for each other, Jesus loves and cares through us. Has Jesus loved us? Is that how God showed his love for the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life? So God shows his love to us in Jesus. We return that love to Jesus by loving others. For when we love others, it's what Steph was saying last night. If you get stuck in your life and you're feeling the pain of it, give some love away. It'll come back to you. Give it away. It'll multiply. It's just like the loaves and fishes when Jesus gets a hold of it. So when we care for one another, we're returning that love to Jesus. And indeed, Jesus said that. He said, "When was I in prison, you didn't visit me, or I was sick and you didn't help me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Whenever you do anything for the least of these, you do it for me." Now, the church is God's plan A for the recreation of the world. And that's why it's important. It's led well. It is the plan A for getting the power of the cross and that recreative activity out into the world. That's why it's so important. And as that happens, we're loving Jesus. And his work is being done in us. One of the most important images for the church in the New Testament is that it's the body of. So we get to be Jesus with skin on for our neighbors and our friends, our enemies, our families. In Revelation 21, the recreation is symbolized in a remade Jerusalem that comes out of heaven. 1,500 miles cubed. I figured it out. Everybody who's ever lived has a big house. It's enormous. And it's made of gold. You read it in Revelation 21. It's made out of gold, which means it's incredibly heavy. It also means you can take shavings. It's made of gold. I love the idea of a city of gold, because those light-fingered folks who broke into my garage this week, where would they take it? Because you'd nick gold from one place and the next place you go, there'd be gold. It's a fascinating thought. And for those of you who like your astronomical things, scientists have figured out that somewhere in the galaxy, there is a planet whose composition of elements means that it rains rubies. I will leave you to Google that later in the day. God, how's that happen? Have a read. Now, a city made of gold. Our future is in that city. And the gold's used symbolically, though who knows? Because God made gold in the first place. But that's where we're intended to head. That's what Jesus' love is trying to do. And as we do to others, as they do to us, as we ask, seek, and knock, all of that stuff starts to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And it all conspires together to this extraordinary truth. Read it with me. Christians understand that the universe is destined for resurrection. Not just you and me, not just the people in this church, not just the folks in your denomination. Everything's getting resurrected. And if everything gets resurrected and transformed and recreated in a new heaven and a new earth, I would humbly suggest that we will end up with a universe of gold. And even though it might just be a bit of figurative speech, I think that might be Jesus' favorite color. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.